You might consider yourself street smart and sensible, but scammers are coming up with new schemes every day. Good news, help is on the way. Our next guest is a consumer protection specialist with advice on how to avoid falling for the latest and not so greatest cons out there that you encounter online, on your phone, and elsewhere. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever lost money because of a scam, or if you had a close call? Have you received suspicious messages, emails, phone calls that you might suspect might be scams? What are your personal rules for avoiding being swindled? What questions do you have? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Michelle Reinen is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Can you give us a sense of the scale of the problem, how big, how much it affects Wisconsin each year?
Oh, absolutely. In Wisconsin, the Federal Trade Commission, our national consumer protection partner, helps us keep data reports. And last year, 2022, $88.2 million was lost to fraud in our state. And that's just out of 44,000 fraud reports, those complaints that consumers filed between the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection or directly with the Federal Trade Commission. And that median loss is $500, so very significant. And the losses can range quite a bit by the type of scam and the age group that we're seeing impacted for these types of frauds. An example being that we see younger consumers actually falling victim to scams more often as a total, as a nation. And what I mean by that is those in their 20s, 20 to 29, report falling victim and losing money to fraud at 43%, where those in their 70s, 70 to 79, report falling victim and losing money 23% of the time. However, the median losses vary. Those in their 20s are losing $548, but when you hit that 70-plus range, you're in the $1,000 to $1,600 median losses. So it can vary by age, and it can vary by scam.
According to some data from the Consumer Sentinel Network, there was a big jump in the number of scams reported nationwide between 2019 and 2020. I'm going to go out on a limb and ask, did that have something to do with COVID?
Certainly, we did see an increase in scams related to COVID. We saw COVID-specific scams during the year. And then we also saw a significant increase in online scams and imposter scams. So quite a difference there. And to explain what an imposter scam is, this is when someone gives you a phone call and pretends to be from the U.S. government. Maybe they're saying they're from Medicare or Social Security. They may even say they're from a big tech company like Microsoft or Google and indicate that you have a problem. And imposter scams can also include a friends and family calling you saying they're in need, or a romance scam where a scammer is impersonating someone that you fall for online. And then we also saw those online scams, again, where people are setting up fake marketplaces, and that certainly happened during COVID, and they're trying to sell their goods there, and really they're not a legitimate retailer. And so you send your money, they have your financial information and can take that money, but they send you no product.
Another form of that imposter scam, and I got to say, this is one I've run into more in my life, is via email, where it says, we're from the government, or a streaming service that I happen to use, or what have you. Problem with your account. Click here to resolve this problem. I generally don't click there. How can we spot if something like that, that email that claims to be somebody, is actually a scam?
You just gave a wonderful example of what we call a phishing scheme, and that's with the P-H-I-S-H, phishing, where they are just sending you an email to entice you to click that link, to do a verification, or fill out a survey and hand over your personal information. Sometimes they're just asking you to indicate and validate a password because it may look like it's coming from your bank or a shipping company or some other financial institution or something that would activate you to act immediately because your finances or something could be at risk or paused or delayed there. Like you said, the U.S. government, your Social Security account could be at risk there. So the best way to spot those is to understand that the U.S. government isn't going to email you out of the blue. So you don't need to respond to that. And they're not going to ask you to click a link. Large companies aren't going to reach out to you by email and tell you that there is a problem with your computer, you know, in a tech support scam situations. And the other large companies, let's say a PayPal and an Amazon and large national financial institutions, aren't going to ask you to do an email verification because they know about these phishing scams. They may say that there is a problem with your account, but they'll ask you to log in the normal way. They won't send you a link to click because that could redirect you to a scammer's imposter website where you are handing over that information. Other clues in the email that you can look for are grammatical problems. You may see that the images are a little fuzzy because they've copied and pasted them in their imposter email there. And you'll also, if you're very careful, could maybe hover over the information where the email came from. And you can see that it doesn't actually end in the same extension as the company it's coming from or the email, the link they want you to click. If you carefully hover over that without clicking it, you also may see that it's not directing you to that same company that the email claims to be coming from.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Justin is with us in Madison. Justin, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
Well, I had somebody call me from claiming to be from my bank, and that's when I realized that our checking account numbers are quite public information to anyone you've ever written a check to. And they called me and they said they were referencing my account ending in, and they gave me the last four digits of the account. They gave me enough information that it sounded very credible, but still there was something that was sounded a little bit off. You know, the hairs on the back of my neck were, you know, standing up. They said, we're going to send you a verification code to your cell phone. Please give me those digits and we'll verify it's you so we can verify these transactions. My cell phone did go off, but something didn't. From the fraud department, let me call you. Let me call the number on the back of my card and take care of this. They tried to get me to stay on the phone, and that's when I knew something was definitely up. They ended up hanging up on me, and I did not get scammed.
Justin, thanks a lot for that call. Justin cut out for a brief moment there, Michelle, but the moral of the story, I think, was he said, let me find a publicly available phone number for my bank, call, and we'll pick it up from there. A good strategy?
A wonderful strategy. Justin used reliable resource information. He had it in his hand on the back of the credit card, and you go to that. If your bank calls you, go get the last statement and call the phone number on that. Open the phone book. You know, don't always trust the Google or the whatever, you know, search engine you use, because a scammer could try and get their fake ad to the top. So you need to be cautious of that information, but go to trusted sources of information. And there's always the option of driving yourself to your local bank if it involves your direct bank.
Justin, thanks for that call. We're talking to Michelle Reinen, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection at Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We're talking to her about the most recent scams we're seeing and how to avoid being swindled. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever run into a situation you think might be a scam, but you weren't sure? How do you protect yourself from scams and fraud? Do you have questions about how to tell if an interaction is potentially a scam? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Michelle Reinen, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection at Wisconsin's Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, looking at newer scams you might not have heard of and how to avoid falling for scams in general. You could join in with your questions, your experiences, maybe your advice at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Michelle, are there things out there that are popping up over the last couple few months that people may not have seen, but they may see soon?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing two different tracks, if you will. One is using new technology. We're seeing an increase of artificial intelligence being used in scams. And this could be in the romance scam, where they're using that to create photo images. And then we're also seeing it in the phone call friends and family scam, or maybe people have heard of it as the grandparent scam, where you get a phone call that appears to be from a loved one. And they're using artificial intelligence to do voice cloning, picking up voice segments from social media. So we certainly want people to be aware of that and have a family plan really in place to be sure that they can react to that in the appropriate manner if they are concerned that the call for, you know, emergency medical assistance or because someone's in jail or having some kind of a problem, that they can react to that safely and soundly without getting taken for a whole bunch of money there. And that may be to set up a family passphrase so you know that the call's legitimate and not something that's just a voice clone using that artificial intelligence. The other thing we're still seeing sweep through our state is certainly mailers that really entice consumers to take action quickly. Different types. It might be to sell your home. It might be to renew an extended auto warranty, or even now to renew an extended home warranty. And they ask for you to act immediately because these things are about to expire and you don't want to miss those opportunities. So realize that you probably don't even have a extended warranty in place, and you again just want to take your time through these situations and not react to these fake pleas for urgency.
Let's go back to our callers. Janet is with us in Burlington. Janet, hi.
Hi. So we were scammed by a United Airlines scammer. I have not booked tickets on an airline since before COVID. And when I Googled United Airlines, I went to the first site, which I shouldn't have. It was a sponsored site. And believe it or not, these scammers were actually able to book our tickets. They were able to apply a credit. And then when I said we needed a name change to make sure that our tickets reflected what was on our passport and driver's license, they charged us $100 per person. I offered my American Express card. They said that they couldn't use that. I offered another card. They said they used it. And then they said, call me back tomorrow and we'll make sure that it went through. They would not accept my call. I called repeatedly, and finally I had to cancel my American Express and Visa card and do dispute on the money. So I would say to anybody listening to be careful that you get the authentic website of wherever you're trying to get to.
Janet, thanks for the call. Michelle.
Yeah, that's a great example of those imposter websites, those fake websites that are being set up, or they may even appear, quote, legitimate in that they are going through the routine with you and taking information and trying to do the, quote, work that you are asking them to do. But when it turns out at the end of the day, they are just collecting your personal information. So I really love that she took the immediate action to cancel both of those cards and file disputes in order to get that money back. And it, unfortunately, we do need to be cautious about those sponsored websites, because it's a way for scammers to try and move their fake site up in front of the legitimate ones. So if you can, type in the web address yourself and being very cautious that you don't have any typos in there so you don't end up at one of those fake websites, because they often try and select ones where it might be the most common mistype that and direct you to their site.
Janet, thanks for that call. We've got another Janet on the line in Slinger. Janet, hi.
Hi. Just yesterday I was called with one. My son had an accident on the way to work, they said, and he needed $8,200 bond. They sure have all the answers for everything, though. They're really good at what they do.
And your son is okay, I trust, Janet.
Yeah, he's just fine. He was at work. It was no problem. But I thought, why would I mail the money when I can take it over to the town he's at and bring him home if he doesn't have a vehicle anymore? That's when I stopped.
Janet, thanks a lot for the call. Michelle, this is something playing on our emotions, obviously, in that situation. We're not necessarily going to think clearly if we're hearing this bad news. How do we spot that relative had an accident scam?
Right. That perfect example of the friends and family scam where they put the medical emergency accident situation. So you need to act right away. So this is an example of having that passphrase for the family. So if it's legitimate that her son could have used that phrase, but realize that they will use all sorts of techniques. They will create background noise to make it sound legitimate. They could have an excuse as to why their voice is off if they're not using the voice cloning technology, like I broke my nose in the accident, so my voice is off. And they do study and get whatever information they can if they want to be precise. So again, they can collect information and data from social media. They will play off the cues you give them the longer you stay on the call. And they are very talented. So if someone does fall victim to this, please don't feel bad about it, because as she said, they are very good. They practice their craft. Just take action immediately and try and stop the situation by contacting your bank. If you've wired money, go back to the company you use to wire money to try and stop the transaction, but do what you can immediately to report it and try and stop the harm.
Janet, thanks for that call. And Michelle, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Michelle Reinen is the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection at Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We talked to her about how to protect ourselves against the latest scams out there.